have a subscription to the San Francisco Chronicle. You need it. I love it. The Sporting Green. Susan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, fellas?
Fantastic. Let's talk about the first five starts of the season. Obviously, Sonny Gray going out means that there was two spots that were up in the air. What do you make of the first five starts out of the starting rotation?
Well, I mean, I think Triggs obviously turned in a very nice outing in the last game of the homestand. There's got to be some concern about Alcantara. He did not look very good last night against Texas. Got hammered, really. And Bob Melvin just wasn't quite willing to discuss what the plans might be with the rotation, but Jesse Hahn sure looked like he might be able to give them a good option if they did want to make a change there. So that was kind of the one good thing I think they could take away from last night's game, was that Hahn looked about as good as he had since, you know, that first half of 2015 when he was the A's number three starter. So that's something for sure to keep an eye on.
Susan, I spoke to you a few times before the season started, and one of my main questions all the time was, do you think Chris Davis can follow up 42 homers? Do you think he can do it? And he has three thus far. What is he doing just for his profile to send a message to Major League Baseball that he may be one of the most prolific power hitters?
Well, you guys know how it is. When you're playing in Oakland, sometimes it's a little tough to get the pub. But if he's a guy that can hit 40 homers on a regular basis, and he certainly seems to be that, I think people are going to sort of slowly start to take notice. I would hope he's a very strong all-star candidate if he's, you know, got maybe 15 or 20, certainly 20, getting close to the break. So fingers crossed. People start to understand that this is a pretty special talent the A's have.
Now, I asked a bunch of people about what their main concern was, whether it was the starting rotation, or the bullpen, or the defense, or the offense, and everybody said the defense. And my main concern has been the offense. But when it comes to Ryan Healy and Chris Davis, Crush Davis, it seems to be looking a little bit on the up. If you were to pick out of those four, now that you've had five games underneath the book, where would you go, Susan?
Well, before the season started, I certainly would have said defense. They've got what looked to be several holes. There's not an above-average defensive player on the A's, with the exception of Yonder Alonso at first base. I mean, everybody's average at best, and there are a couple spots where I would say they're below average. So I was concerned about that, but they've actually played pretty well defensively so far. I think they've got to be thrilled with that. You know, a couple of little mistakes here and there, but among other things, Jed Lowrie looks as good as he has in maybe years moving around. So that's a nice little takeaway. The offense, they look pretty good during the spring. They're really focusing on on-base percentage. They have guys who can get on base at a much greater rate than what we saw last year. Really, that was what killed them last year, with the problems they have with their on-base percentage. So if they can kind of keep that up, I'm not all that worried about it. And I like the pitching. I think people are maybe discounting this team as a whole. But, you know, Triggs and Alcantara are sort of question marks at the back end of the rotation. And until Sonny Gray comes back, you know, and if he's the Sonny Gray everybody expects him to be, I think the rotation is right now maybe something where concern might be a little bit of a strong word, but certainly, something to follow, at least.
Susan, there was an instance last night to where the A's were down 8-0. They had the bases loaded, had a couple runs. Simeon was up, wasn't able to get an RBI and keep the line moving. But I thought to myself, being that this team is so young, sometimes in a game you're going to get just so many chances. Had Simeon hit a double, I mean, that would have changed the whole complexion of the game, right?
Yeah, and you guys will recall right before that, A.J. Griffin kind of went down in the heat near the A's dugout trying to stop an overthrow. And he had to come out of the game at that point. Alex Claudio came in and was lights out. I mean, he was by far the Rangers' best pitcher last night. So that was just kind of one of those weird things that worked against the A's. Now, it's possible Griffin might have come out in that spot anyway. You know, even if he hadn't have fallen down and scraped his hand, the palm of his pitching hand. But as Bob Melvin mentioned, if that ball gets through, that overthrow goes through the railing into the crowd, the A's dugout, what have you, that's two runs right there, and maybe the complexion of the game changes. So a lot of little things did not go the A's way last night. On the other hand, the Rangers also got a lot of really, really big hits, and that's going to be tough to come back from if you're not getting also the little breaks.
Susan Slusser, good enough to join us. Daryl the Gruber, Jonathan Zachariah here on 95.7 The Game on Twitter at Susan Slusser. Susan, Marcus Semien leading off tonight. What do you make about what his role is this year? How important is he for the A's success? And why is Bob Melvin leading him off tonight?
Well, we haven't talked to Bob yet, but I would imagine it's, you know, probably a batter pitcher matchup or. You know, it's just to kind of shake things up a little bit. Marcus has had some really good at-bats. He's actually getting some walks. Last year, he was among those guys who really struggled with the on-base percentage. Hey, you know, he's a guy with 20-25 homer power, but he just was not, you know, the average was way down, wasn't getting on base. I think he really is emphasizing that. So the fact that he is getting on base and he has some speed, that's, as far as I'm concerned, that's a pretty decent guy to have in the leadoff spot.
Susan, Zach and I were going back and forth about Sonny Gray, and I'm just wondering your opinion. When he does come back, I think now something's been added to the checklist for him to be, you know, for us to see if he's gotten back to his old status, because it's not just production now. I feel like we have to see, is he going to be durable? Is his health a question mark?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's 100% accurate. I think he will, the results, I think he'll be back to old Sonny. I really do. I think the talent is there. We know we've got an enormous ability. I don't kind of question that his performance will be more what we're used to seeing from him. But yeah, the durability is, there's no doubt after two DL stints last year and starting this year on the DL. And you guys have known the number of times that where he's had in his starts because he got food poisoning and stuff here and there. It's starting to pile up a little bit. Now, those things I would kind of hate hearing when people single out guys for that, because then you wind up in this situation where guys try to pitch through little things that maybe they shouldn't because they don't want to get that reputation and then they get hurt worse. That to me is worse. If a guy feels a little something, it's better for them to say something and maybe miss their start or two. In this case, it was such a weird one. He had a little bit of a lat thing. He didn't feel it at all 2 days later. He said during the regular season it's something he probably wouldn't even mention to the trainers, but it was so early in spring training, he thought, it's nothing, I'll just mention it. We'll get a little extra treatment maybe get pushed back from the next start, and then they do an MRI and it shows a lat strain. He was shocked. He's still shocked. And it sounds like when he went to the lat expert that he saw during the middle of spring training, it's possible that what was they were seeing there on the MRI was like an old injury. You know, those still show up on MRIs, and they really didn't ever have that much of a bad problem this spring. So that's one I really hate dinging Sonny for. I think maybe it was just something old that cropped up on the MRI, and they're being extra cautious because he's Sonny Gray.
And when you look at, coming in for Jesse Hahn, Alcantara, when you look at those two guys, who do you think ultimately will be the back end of the rotation?
Well, I'm going to say, well, with Sonny coming back, I think it's really going to be more, you know, Triggs, and then if Triggs isn't...
Assuming he's back,
Hahn.
Yeah, assuming he's back.
I'm trying to sneak out of that one. Hahn certainly looked good. I would imagine the A's will try to kind of mix and match there at the fifth spot until Sonny comes back. And if there's a need again, you remember Chris Bassett will be back, maybe even before midseason. He's throwing to hitters, which means he's pretty close to a rehab assignment. And you guys remember the kind of promise he showed when he was in the A's rotation. So they will start to have even more options. And, you know, I love what we saw Daniel Gossett during the spring. I think at some point he's going to be a very nice option for the A's if needed.
Finally here, and also check out the book, 100 Things A's Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, on Amazon and at Susan Slusser on Twitter. Susan, when it comes to the vibe that you're feeling from Oakland, and I'm saying this as an East Bay guy, and I could speak for Guru on this, how much better is it knowing that it seems like the A's are now embracing the Bay Area?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, this is one of the best developments for this franchise, you know, since that run of playoffs a few years ago. I think the fan base has been disgruntled, rightfully so. You know, nobody liked the idea that they might be moving, although it made sense for the team at the time to be exploring other markets because it didn't appear anything was going to be happening in Oakland, and certainly San Jose is better than them leaving for Nashville or Raleigh or something like that. But certainly understand the disgruntlement over that. And then all the players coming and going. I mean, that's tough for a fan base. For a team to really sort of stick its neck out the way the A's have and say, we're committing to this town, we're embracing this town, we're embracing our past, I think that's wonderful.
At Susan Slusser on Twitter. Susan, thank you a ton. I give you credit as much as I can because I use pretty much all of your information for my A's pre and post game. And we always appreciate the time. Check out the book on Amazon, 100 Things A's Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, on Twitter, at Susan Slusser. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
There you go.
Yeah.